Welcome back to Sports Day for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy. The tennis players en masse are going to be released probably tomorrow about lunchtime, a couple on Saturday. But
are the nightclub's going to be packed?
The majority of them, I suspect, will be walking the streets of Chapel Street anyway, looking for somewhere to go and have a decent feed and maybe buy some clothes and get stuck into the Melbourne lifestyle.
Jared, can I just ask you a question? If I name these four players, what have they got in common? Andy Murray, Thomas Burdick, Grigor Dimitrov, Juan Martín Del Potro, Stan Wawrinka. Apart from being all absolute guns.
Are they all coached by the one bloke?
Yes, they've all been coached by Daniel Valverde, and he joins us. He's now Stan Wawrinka's coach online, soon to be out of quarantine. Daniel, welcome. Thanks for your time.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. You're making me laugh already, so that's good fun.
Well, I'm going to start this, and we don't often start by with a demand, but I am going to demand something of you, Daniel, from the very word go in this interview, and that is do not stuff around with Stan's backhand, because that's the best backhand I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've been with him now a year and a half, and I have not mentioned his backhand once in a year and a half, so I think you'll be happy about that.
He's a hell of a player to watch. He must be a good player to coach. He just looks like a good man, a good guy that you'd like to spend some time with and you could rely on in the trenches.
Oh, yeah, he's a really, really nice guy. I've been close with him now for a long time, even before we started working together. But he's a great guy, a lot of fun, hard worker, but most importantly, very down to earth. So he's a pleasure to be around, to be honest.
I've had a lot of enjoyment watching Stan. I've backed him in a lot of opens and backed him when he's won some slams. So he's a hell of a player. And tell us what you are working on if you're not working on his backhand, which is good to hear.
Yeah, the backhand's still as good as gold, so that we're good with that. But to be honest, I mean, just trying to get him back in shape. He went through a big knee surgery about 2.5 years ago. So he was finding his way back into the tour in 2019, and then at the beginning of 2020. Unfortunately, we had a long stop, so we're now trying to get his fitness back. Back up and running. The knee's holding up really well, so that's the most important thing. And now, he's coming towards the end of his career. He's going to be 36 this year, so the motivation is there. So he's looking forward to it. He's feeling physically very good, so he's happy to be down here, and hopefully we'll have a good run.
One of the most inspiring exercise sessions I've ever seen of anybody, may well be the most inspiring, was watching Pat Cash when he was about 23 train indoors at the Australian Open. It was high intensity. It was all short, sharp, agility work. And it was just, you know, it actually made me go out and change the way I used to train in my sporting pursuits. But how do you get a 36-year-old to get to the level of fitness that some of the younger guys can get to without burning him out?
I mean, I think he has, at this age, especially being on tour, I think he's been now on tour for 17, 18 years. You build a base level of fitness that's very strong. So that's still there for him. So you don't have to worry about that so much. And the volume definitely goes down quite a lot at this stage of his career. So like you said, I mean, maybe you watch Pat, I don't know how old he was when he was training that way, but for Stan now, that's what we're focusing on, and we're trying to keep it short, very high intensity. That's I think the older you get, what you lose the most is the speed of the game and trying to keep up with the younger guys. So that's what we're focusing on, trying to keep it short and sweet, very high intensity. And like I said, I think having that base fitness that he's had now for the last 18 years, we don't have to worry so much about the volume, but more about the quality and the intensity of the training.
So, Daniel, I guess one of the good things about being in quarantine is that you actually get to train and practice on site. Some of the Australians that are not in the bubble don't get to do that. The court's playing differently this year. There's been a little bit of talk that they're quicker than last year.
I mean, that's definitely a little bit of an advantage. Then they have the upside of being outside and being able to live a normal life, which I think mentally that's also a plus. And I'm happy for them, to be honest. They've been now obviously some of them away from the game for a long time, being stuck here in Australia, and usually they are the ones that have the tougher hand, to be honest, just having to travel from so far away. So I'm happy that they get to be outside and train normally. The courts, I would say they're playing a little bit faster than last year, but in general they're very similar. I think the only difference this year is that they're going to be used a lot more before the tournament starts. So I'm expecting them to be a bit quicker than usually, especially on the second week of the Open.
So you lose a little bit of abrasiveness, do you? And it just skids through the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to pay off playing aggressive tennis. I think the big shots will get rewarded. And the guys that are looking to come to the net, I think they're going to enjoy the courts this year.
Would it suit Kyrgios more than a slower court? Would this year's court suit him more than last year?
I think he would like it. I mean, he likes a bit of time when he's playing from the back of the court. But I think this quicker condition will help his backhand. He hits it quite flat, and he hits it under the ball a little bit like Leighton used to.
Yep.
So I think it'll be good for his backhand and definitely his serve. I think
he's
going to get a lot of free points.
Can I ask you about a player that you coached for a period of time, and I'm not quite sure how long, Andy Murray. Andy Murray, you could argue, is one of the greatest Australian Open players of all time, and yet he never won it. But he was runner-up, I think, 5 or 6 times. It must have, A, been, you know, gut-wrenching for him personally not to actually ever hold the trophy, but he's been a hell of a player for a long, long time without actually ever getting across the line, unfortunately running into 3 of the greatest players the game's ever seen. And he, if they weren't there, he'd be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he's had Novak to compete against, which has been more than a challenge. But yeah, I would say that this is a slam that he would have loved to win. I obviously won the US Open and Wimbledon and made the French Open finals. But yeah, I think this is one that if he could pick another achievement in his career, it would be to hold the Australian Open trophy. He loves playing here. Obviously had a lot of success. I think he's played 5 or 6 finals, like you said, and a few semifinals. So it's probably been his most successful slam, maybe even more than Wimbledon, I would say. I think it's a shame that he's not here this year. I know that he's quite upset. He got very unlucky getting the virus before having to travel. Yep. So yeah, he'll be down not to be able to be here.
You've also coached Grigor Dimitrov, who was 8 years ago was the man who was going to come through as the next Federer. Hasn't quite got there at the moment. Can he still win a slam?
Definitely. He's a hell of a player. He's still young. I think he's 28, maybe turning 29, but he has the body of a 20-year-old. So okay. I think as long as his motivation and his work ethic still there, I have no doubt that he'll have a shot to win a slam. I think he's going to be one of those players that has a long career. He's very physically gifted and also very dedicated to his training. So I think he'll be a contender in the next few years.
Body of a 20-year-old, Jared. Remind you of yourself?
Oh, yes, when I was 20.
Hey, Daniel, give us the one thing that you've found or discovered during quarantine. Is it a show? Is it a book? Is it a type of food? There must be something that you've done that you wouldn't have regularly done.
Well, I'm a big foodie, I would say. So I'm into restaurants here in Melbourne, and I think the food scene in Melbourne is fantastic. But I discovered a few new gems, to be honest. So I would say that I've been spending a lot of time on Deliveroo and Uber Eats, trying to find good food. But Melbourne is a good place for it.
Jared,
can you give us a name? Give us a name for us, Daniel.
Tommy Ruff's.
I'm not sure if he's been down Tommy Ruff Street.
Excuse me, what was that?
So the best fish and chips in Victoria, it might even be in Australia, Daniel,
okay,
is a place called Tommy Ruff's. It's on Chapel Street, or they've got a few. The main one is on Chapel Street. So if you like your seafood, that is the place you have to go.
Okay. So I will definitely give it a try tomorrow for lunch. I've been ordering Din Tai Fung. It's fantastic dumplings. I don't know if you've had it before.
Yeah, we do dumplings well here in Melbourne. So what was that restaurant? Yeah.
Din Tai Fung.
Din Tai Fung. Where are they? Where do they reside?
I think it's in here the center, right, very close to the Grand Hyatt.
Okay. So do you travel with your family, Daniel, or you are you married?
Married. Got twins at home. Yep. They're 18 months old. So, yeah, this is probably the roughest trip for me in a long time. It's going to be the longest one that I'm away from home. Obviously from the kids. I was spending a lot of time with them last year. So, yeah, I'm doing a lot of FaceTime and a lot of time on the phone with the family. So yeah, I have a family at home and miss them dearly. And yeah, just looking forward to getting back at some point.
Well, we wish you a very, very successful stay here in Australia. And we also wish Stan a very successful stay. And can you say to Stan that you are talking to some bloke on the radio who would just like to thank you, Stan, for all the enjoyment you've given us over the years?
I will. Well, thank you guys for being supportive and so positive about him, and I will definitely share that.
Oh, well done.
Message.
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel Valverde there, Venezuelan, actually represented Venezuela in the Davis Cup, got to the semifinals in the America Zone in the mid 2000s. Mm. I was reading earlier today, absolutely, and coached some of the best players in the world. Stan can go deep, can't he? I mean, he's ranked 18, but the rankings this year really mean nothing in this tournament, don't they?
I don't like hearing that he's working on his fitness, but. So maybe he needs a slam to get under his belt. You just don't know who's done the work.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, I've heard that Kyrgios hasn't done the work, and I've had other people say he has done the work. So who do you believe?
I guess we'll find out pretty early on.
Well, you don't find out that early. Because, I mean, someone like
Nick Kyrgios can... Unless they get five sets or something.
Yeah, but someone like a Kyrgios can blow someone away without being... But when you come into a five-setter, I suppose you can be exposed early in the...
A summer weather update for SunSmart. Be SunSmart and save your skin. Between 20 and 40 mils of rain predicted and a top of 23
inside
in Melbourne
work tomorrow
for Friday. This is Sports Day. More after this.